Jazz here, and I am so digging the GeekCast Radio Network.
This is Static. When Gear and I aren't fighting bang babies, we like to listen to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey, bub, I keep telling you, don't call me Wubby! Snicked.
Welcome back to GeekCast Radio's Top 100 Animated Series Nominees episodes. I am TFG1 Mike. Joining me, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Yo.
And Optimus Solo.
Oh.
No Thundercats. Life for me.
I was going to say, no Thundercats here, folks. This is, no Thundercats.
Fucking sailors instead.
Yeah, So how is everyone?
Fantastic.
Yay. So we had a little break between the 90s episode and this episode. My buddy Brad came on and we did a convention attention episode for the first time in a while, as he has spent 19 years out of the 20 years that New York Comic Con has been a thing, and he went to New York Comic Con. So that was the last episode you find people would have heard. So we're bringing it back from the NYCC convention attention recap. We get back to the nominees and we enter the decade of the 2000s. Take it away, Optimus Solo.
Yeah. So if you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to the episodes that we did with the pre-80s, the 80s and the 90s, where we explain it in full detail. But we are selecting nominations for people to vote on this time around. Last time, I don't know if I've said this before on any of the other episodes, but last time we got votes, you could vote for any cartoon. It was open-ended. There was no qualifications. And we had votes on about 360 cartoons overall on that one. So we're narrowing it down here, and we're only going to give the voters a choice between 250 cartoons. So we're already cutting 100 off of what got votes last time, which should eliminate some of the one-offs, some of the personal favorites, some of the biases that we saw in the last countdown. And by doing that, or how we get to that 250, is we're selecting 50 from different time periods. So today we are covering anything that was released from 2000 to 2009. That would be our 2000s as far as a decade goes. Interesting to note, and we'll talk a little bit more about this at the end, but only 12 of the shows we're going to talk about in this 50 actually made the original top 100.
That's crazy.
However, 12 made it. 41 out of these 50 got at least one vote, though.
Wow.
So only 9 shows that we're going to discuss today did not receive a vote for the previous countdown. And we have had, like we've talked about for all of these episodes, we've had 15 more years. Even though all of these shows were eligible last time, some of them had come out very recently when we did the countdown. So some of them were still fresh. Some of them were newer. Some of them we hadn't got to see how long they would stick around, how many episodes they would air. So there may have been some shows that came out in 2008, 2009 that went on to have hundreds of episodes that we just wouldn't have known about when we did this the first time. So we'll have to see if we make a jump from 12 on the last countdown to a higher number, and what we think about after we go through the set. As we've done with all of the other episodes like this, we're going to cover 5 at a time. I'm going to throw out 5 different shows. We're going to react. Steve, Mike, and myself will give you our thoughts on which ones we feel strongly about, which ones we don't feel strongly about. And then after we go 5 by 5 a bunch of times, we'll hit to 50. That's how the math works. And then at the end, we'll talk a little bit about all of them encompassing, and we'll see what AI has to say about this set as well. Mike, anything you want to get off your chest before we reveal the first 5?
Well, it is the decade of the 2000s, and there was a lot.
So this would have been, Steve, you were in high school for a tiny bit of the 2000s?
Actually, I was in high school for the first 4 years.
Okay, so this was like 4 years of high school and then your post-high school life. For me,
And I was in college for like 3 years.
And I graduated high school in May of 2000. So I spent, you know, the first 4 years of this decade basically in college and then, you know, afterwards. Yeah. So that's just giving you guys a reference about our how old we were when we would have been watching these and things of that nature. So it'll be interesting. Steve, anything else that you want to get off your chest or cover before we reveal the first five?
Off of recent research, having come off of the pre-80s, the 80s, the 90s, there's quite a bit in the 2000s and the 2010s on up to the current day that I am not very well versed in because, again, I was in high school, I was working, I had limited time for television, so I was very selective on what I watched. Like Dragon Ball Z was still kind of a mainstay,
mm-hmm.
as well as some of the Transformers shows that were on during this time. I think I want to say Armada was on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I didn't watch a whole lot, so it's been interesting going back and skimming through. And I haven't made it through all the shows yet. By the time we do the actual top 100, I'll have watched something from every show on this list out of the 250 if I'm not familiar with it.
Impressive.
But there's quite a few here and in the next episode that I'm not very well versed at this current juncture.
Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind as we go through this, obviously the pre-80s, we've all had our entire lives to catch up with those shows. You know, the 80s, we've had basically our entire lives to catch up with those. As we get into these 2000s and 2010s, Steve is definitely right. There may be a few that we reveal on this episode and in the next episode that we're not going to be as well versed today or in, you know, the time period that we're recording these as we will be potentially when we record the top 100. Plus we may have some other guests and different people showing up. We'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. So apologies ahead of time if there's a few on here that we're just gonna have to
not skip
necessarily, but say that, you know, it's a blind spot for us.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, this was when I was in college, I was watching more of the adult cartoons, like adult based, like Family Guy. This would have been my Family Guy stage or things of that nature. So if it was aimed at a younger audience that came out here, the only way I would have been exposed to that would have been catching it up much later or doing it when, you know, I was capturing voices and things of that nature. But for a lot of us, you know, we didn't start doing the podcasting and some of the other stuff like this until the, you know, 2009-ish.
Well, eight-ish. For Steve, it was 2005. For me, it was 2008.
Right.
And the thing is for me, what I remember is I basically switched from animation to live action. Past 2004, which was X-Men, Wolverine and the X-Men or X-Men Evolution or something like that. Past 2004, I switched up to live action television again, and I was watching live action TV stuff. I very rarely watched action up until Transformers Animated hit in 2007, 2008. When that started going, I did not like from it's a whole thing. And to this day, I can still say from literally from 2000 to now, more specifically 2008 to now, I don't watch TV or cartoons in general the way that I did when I was a kid, obviously, because things have changed or whatever else. Like, I watch them to discuss them on podcasts now more so than because the podcasting wasn't a thing 40 years ago, 45 years ago. But the point is that I can no longer just sit here and watch something to watch it. I have to have a purpose in watching something or listening. Like, music is kind of like my escape. So I can listen to a song or listen to an album and I enjoy that and I do that and I can, you know, all of that. That's fine. You know, but I still write, you know, soundtrack reviews for La La Land Records for geekcastradio.com, stuff like that. But like, when it comes to watching stuff or reading comics or any of that kind of stuff that we've been doing over the last almost 16 and a half, 17 years of the network, I can't just do it to do it. I have to do it to do a podcast about it or discuss it with you guys or discuss it with other people that aren't you. Like, I'm just saying this because I know it's not your thing, Kev. I'm not trying to call you out. But, like, I know Power Rangers is not Optimus Solo's thing. So
there isn't.
I'm gonna go to Steve, or I'm gonna go to Scotty Cash, or I'm gonna go to my buddy Jesse, or I'm gonna go to somebody else if there's a Power Rangers thing. If there's a somehow a weird Saved by the Bell reunion, I'm gonna say, hey, Optimus Solo, let's do this or do that or whatever kind of thing. Like, because podcasting is so big in my life and it's basically my entire life for the most part, unless I'm sleeping, I'm breathing podcasting when I'm not sleeping. So when I'm watching the cartoons to do the research to make sure I know what I need to know for these nominee reveals for the top 100 next year, it's so I have the knowledge so I can, you know, come on the episodes and say, hey, I watched that, or I remember watching that, or I, in the perfect example, and I know this is not 2000s, but in the perfect example of Goof Troop, before I started watching it currently, I remember a Goofy movie. That's what I remember. I was surprised. It's a whole thing. So yeah, but the 2000s was very interesting when it came to animation.
All right, we'll have to see what you guys react to as we reveal each set of five. So let's go ahead and get to this first set of five.
Okay, but you promised to help me with math class.
Sure, I know. Okay, I will. Okay, recite your whole numbers in descending order, starting with five, Carl.
Five?
Yes.
Have you managed to contact your home planet yet?
Oh, you know, I was going to do it yesterday, but I got distracted. VH1 was running this I Love the 80s marathon. Do you know Lou Ferrigno was deaf?
Your car has been crushed. Mystery solved. That'll be $20.
Hey, get back here. Get back here, Cup. Who crushed it? That's what I want to know.
Meteors did it! Okay, that'll be $20.
Hey, Carl.
Meteors did it! That'll be $20.
It's a short list, Woodhouse.
Yes, sir.
The two things we don't allow in here, what are they?
Dogs and your mother.
That's a very short list, isn't it?
Yes.
A time of peace. When the Avatar kept balance between the Water Tribes, Earth Kingdom, Fire Nation, and Air Nomads. But that all changed when the Fire Nation attacked.
All right. As we've said in the previous episodes, these are in alphabetical order, for the most part, loosely alphabetical. I don't like fine-tune it and take the does out and things of that nature. So, but it is no bearing on the top 100, as no votes have been cast for anything like that. Also, last caveat is anything that is mentioned today, even if we say we wouldn't probably vote for it on our top 100, just the fact that we're mentioning it means that we've placed it in the top 50 for its era or its decade or its time period, whichever one we're covering. So it does get props for that. So our first set of five, as you just heard, we have Adventures of Jimmy Neutron from 2002. That did not receive, it did not make our original list, and it did not receive any votes actually last time either. It's one of the nine that did not receive any votes. We have American Dad from 2005. I believe that show has aired 350 plus episodes. We have Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which debuted in 2000, also over 100 episodes. We have Archer, just made it into this section, coming out in 2009. And we have Avatar The Last Airbender coming out in 2005. So out of those five, Avatar The Last Airbender is the only one that made our original top 100. It came in at number 36. Aqua Teen Hunger Force and American Dad did get votes. They ended up in 162nd and American Dad in 267th place. So not a lot of love for it, even though it did get votes. Archer and Adventures of Jimmy Neutron did not receive any votes. Archer was fairly new at the time. I'm shocked that Jimmy Neutron didn't get any votes. When it comes to my take on this one, I feel like Avatar The Last Airbender is a lock to get a vote and a lock to appear on the top 100. Out of the other ones, I think it may become a personal preference because we have, for example, American Dad, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and Archer all probably going towards the same demographic. So depending on what age you were, what kind of humor you like, et cetera, as far as which one of those three works the best for you, or how many spots you have for that adult primetime type cartoon. Jimmy Neutron, I didn't watch it. I didn't grow up with it. It doesn't resonate with me, so I will not be voting for it. I don't know what kind of following it has out there in general. I probably, out of the three other ones, The American Dad, Aqua Teen, Hunger Force, and Archer, I will probably vote for Archer. I don't know if it will even come close to making the list, but that's just something I enjoyed in my 30s, probably 20s and 30s, a little bit more than. It was different for me than, I feel like American Dad was too much like a clone of Family Guy slash a few other shows that were all coming out in the same vein. So I don't know if I would have enough room for it, even though I have enjoyed the episodes of American Dad that I have seen. Steve, what do you think about this set of five?
So I believe the last time that we did this, I voted for Aqua Teen Hunger Force specifically out of these five. I don't know if I would vote for it again. And I say that because it kind of, it did well when it came out. And it was, at the time, it was still kind of recent. It was on Adult Swim. It was, you know, one of those other shows with Archer late at night. And while I loved it at the time, I don't think it stands the test of time. I think it kind of just fizzled out. It was kind of like that early kind of shock value content on Adult Swim. And then it kind of was replaced by, you know, Venture Brothers and Archer and C-Lab and some other different stuff. I don't foresee me voting for any of these, to be honest, just based on the amount of other new shows that have kind of appeared and some of the other ones that I didn't hit the first time, some anime that I've kind of gotten into or watched over the last, you know, couple of years. I can make the case for Avatar: The Last Airbender and possibly Jimmy Neutron. Myself, I won't be voting for them, but I could see, like, for instance, like my kids or something voting for those. As opposed to me. But yeah, in American Dad, it's kind of Family Guy light. Like, I would rather vote for Family Guy than vote for that. So that's again another one of those things where the vote would probably get split based on, you know, either the creator or the type of show or, you know, the genre or, you know, just things in general.
Yeah. Another thing that we'll reference a couple times today is we did look at some lists to help us form these 50 for each one. We did some podcast records, but we did some discussions online with it. We looked at some lists. We talked to AI a little bit. We did a multitude of different things. I even had Dan look it over to see if he thought we were missing anything specifically. And so part of that was looking at some various lists online, the IGN list, our previous list, and TV Guide, and some other websites and stuff have done lists that they've ranked 50 or 100 animated shows of all time. So we did look at that. When it came to those lists, Avatar was on 7 of the 9 we looked at. Aqua Teen Hunger Force was on 4. Archer was on 3. Jimmy Neutron and American Dad were both on 2. Mike, what do you think of this set of 5?
Yeah, I don't know. American Dad, like you guys have said, it's kind of like Family Guy light. I never got into it. I'm curious about Archer because it's FX and because of that whole era of when FX kind of started. And like I said in previous episode, branched out into adult animation for them. Jimmy Neutron, like, I've seen various episodes of it. I kind of like it, but I haven't like sat down to watch it. But I don't know. I don't know if like any of these, like Steve said, would like, am I screaming to put any of these on my list? No. But if I give Archer the 5-episode rule and I watch the first 5 episodes and I come away at the end of the first 5 and be like, okay, I can kind of see maybe it goes in the 80s or the 70s. Maybe it'll make my list. But at this point in time, not likely.
So I will be shocked if Avatar doesn't make the list. Out of the 12 that were on our original list that we're going to cover today, it is the second highest we rated one. So we having this one at 36, it would be a long drop for it to not make the countdown. So I would anticipate that might not be as high as 36, but I think it will be on there. The other ones I think are all fighting uphill.
It is disappointment in 15 years if it doesn't make it.
Yeah, the rest The rest, I think, are fighting an uphill battle. So, all right. Yeah.
One meddling Batman I could destroy easily. But where did this other one come from? Which other planets support humanoid life? Ran, Thanagar, Earth? Earth. Yes. Well, with Rodan in the atmosphere, someone from Earth would have incredible power on Zeradar.
I wrote a headline about what you did today.
I understand how you feel.
Do you?
I wouldn't like it either if an alien with superpowers came to Earth to do my job.
That makes me feel a lot better.
I knew that.
Man the ears! Full speed ahead!
Whoa! I wish Clifford had seatbelts!
Slow down, big guy!
School's almost out, Cleo. I want to see Emily Elizabeth.
That was too easy. Lust, then. First, they refuse to stop ice cream trucks for any kids. Then, they lock all the soft serve away in cold storage so they can achieve their ultimate goal. A super huge ice cream party with no kids!
Get out!
Lust! No!
Party! Party, 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 party!
Knock it off! You can't go to their insidious party! There won't be any kids allowed!
George got more and more excited until the show began.
So for the next set of five, be interested to hear you guys' take. We have once again one show that appeared on our top 100 list, and we have two of the other shows that didn't even get a vote, and then two shows that just missed the countdown. So I'm interested to hear you guys' take. So we have Batman and the Brave and the Bold from 2008 that was on our original list at number 71. We have Ben 10 from 2005 that just missed. It was 120 last time. We have Clifford the Big Red Dog. We have Codename Kids Next Door from 2002. That was number 159 on our original list. And then we have Curious George. Curious George and Clifford the Big Red Dog did not receive any votes last time. A lot of people did not like voting for the shows aimed towards a younger audience, it seemed like. So Batman, Brave and Bold, Ben 10, Clifford, Codename Kids Next Door, and Curious George. Just so has it that the only two that I've seen are Clifford and Curious George. So I don't know anything about Ben 10 or all of the other series that came afterwards. I don't have never seen Kids Next Door and Batman, the Brave and the Bold, as you guys
outrageous.
All know. I have not seen because I've never seen an episode of anything DC and Marvel until today when I watched the first three episodes of the 1967 Spider-Man. Anyways, Mike, what are your thoughts on this set of five?
Curious George, weren't there multiple series of that? Because I know originally, weren't they books?
This one's been 200, aired almost 200 episodes.
Okay.
So it's been around and probably played on vacation and whatnot.
I remember Curious George as a kid. Like I'm surprised this wasn't listed in our 80s episode or the pre-80s episode, because like I said, I remember Curious George as a kid, as a book, because Man with the Yellow Hat and all that and everything else and whatever else. But
no, all that's a game show from Nickelodeon.
No, it's not.
All that? You don't remember all that? Anyways, continue.
Funny guy. Clifford's Clifford. He's a big red dog. Who cares? I've never seen Ben. I've seen clips of Ben 10. I've never actually seen Ben 10. Codename Kids Next Door. I've seen bits and pieces of that. I've seen probably 20 episodes of Batman Brave and the Bold. The two or three episodes I pretty much remember is Batman of Zur-En-Arr, because Kevin Conroy voiced the Batman of Zur-En-Arr character, and the other one was the fact that Paul Reubens, Pee Wee Herman, was the voice of Batmite in the Batmite episodes of that series. And the reason why I said outrageous earlier was because that was Aquaman's catchphrase in that series, and he said it way too damn often.
Steve, what do you think of this set of five?
I've actually seen all of these.
Excellent.
I've watched them all in the past, and I've watched some more recently than others. Batman, the Brave and the Bold, I've watched more recently just because we have, you know, the Zur-En-Arrh episode is, of course, one of my favorites, just because Kevin Conroy reprises Batman on another Earth. And then Clancy Brown actually is the Lex Luthor of that world.
Yep.
I've watched a few of them. Like, I remember pretty early on in KeyCast Radio's history, I was given some DVDs for The Brave and the Bold, and I introduced, that was like my first introduction of it to my son back in the day, because I was like, oh, it's a pretty mellow Batman. It's very colorful. It's very, you know, I felt like it was safe.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also entertaining because there were a lot of funny moments in it. I've watched a handful of it here or there, but it's overall pretty enjoyable. Ben 10, I watched the original run, not the more recent variations of the series where it's got new subtitles and different voice actors. Omniverse and
all the other ones.
I watched the original one, and that's very interesting. Right?
That's what this is, right? The 2005 run is the original run, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yep. It's on the sheet that way. But yeah, so I watched that one, and it was a lot of fun to watch. Just this kid kind of essentially Power Rangering it up with, instead of turning into a ranger, he became different aliens, and he had to skill up to get the different variations. Clifford, it's obviously a play on the books. So if you've read the books, you get the gist of the show. My kids watched that back in the day too. I'm sure I saw it when they were younger. Codename Kids Next Door was a Cartoon Network show that, you know, they had a clubhouse and they were basically secret agents. And then Curious George, again, if you've seen the books, and, you know, of course, right. Frank Welker is George. So it's another one of those ones my kids enjoyed too. I was too old for it, but it was not annoying.
Does something like Batman the Brave and the Bold get your vote this time, or do you think it's not going to make it?
I personally would vote for it just because I enjoyed it. Doesn't mean I won't vote for the other ones from the 90s. I would vote for this. I think Ben 10 would be a strong contender just because it's kind of like Batman and kind of like Turtles, and where they've had various iterations and reboots. And so I think it's deserving. Curious George is kind of that mainstay that kind of shows up. Kids Next Door, while I enjoyed it at the time, I don't know if anybody would even know what that is now.
I'd have to give Kids Next Door the 5-episode treatment before I could make a decision. And again, for me, making a decision means it's going to end up somewhere in my 80s or 70s section of my top 100 list.
I do think this section, out of all the other episodes that we've done, will see the most movement. Like, if I track that for some way, like some other ones may slide a little bit one way or this. I think this one, you're either going to see ones that jump extremely higher than they got the last time, like something that got like a voted in the 200th or 160th spot that somehow makes the countdown now because we've had more years to digest it, or something that could be something that falls off. Like, we have Batman the Brave and the Bold was at 71. Does it stick around or does it not make the next countdown? But then you have Ben 10, which was 120. Does it gain enough ground to crack the top 100 this time around with more years, or does it not? So, I mean, I think this one we're going to see a little bit of a fluctuation 100%. So it'd be interesting to track that as it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like you've said before in the previous episodes, in the pre-80s, 80s, and 90s, some of these we don't, like you just said, with Codename Kids Next Door, and like Steve said, who really knows what it is unless you experienced it when it came out earlier in the 2000s. Some of these cartoons, even though they were, what year did that come out?
2002 for Codename.
Okay, so 2002. Some people may have missed that cartoon that haven't seen it or whatever.
Right. I see Codename, though, it was 159 originally. I think, to Steve's point, I see that one actually doing worse or having a very little chance of cracking the top 100, because it was 159, and then there hasn't been anything to keep that in our memories or keep that in like the top of mind consciousness. Whereas Ben 10, like Steve said, we've had,
I feel like
at least a half a dozen other spinoffs. So,
well, I mean, with the different spinoffs of Ben 10,
so I can see that one climbing,
kind of top of mind. Yeah, Codename Kids Next Door, I can see definitely disappearing because I had to stop and think about it for a minute. I'm like, did I ever watch that? Because it was on my list of like revisits. And I'm like, oh, I remember this show because I watched a few clips of it. And I'm like, yeah, I remember this now.
And that's one of those things where, like we always say, sometimes we always say this on Altered Geek. Sometimes we say it on Geekcast Radio. Sometimes we say it on All Things Transformers. Sometimes we're sitting on Studio 2009. Not everything needs a new iteration. Sometimes you just search out something, find it, enjoy it for what it was. And I think Codename Kids Next Door is one of those. I think it, like, because you can't just keep having the same thing over and over and over again, just told in a different way. Like,
yeah. I think they needed a better name too, because we were struggling to even say the name of the show.
Well, I mean, I think what they used to do is they used to actually abbreviate it after. I don't even know how many seasons it had, but I think they used to just call it Codename KND. I think that's really what they abbreviated it to. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So that does it for the A's, the B's, and the C's. Let's see what we have next.
I think I should tell them.
Why? Parents don't listen. Even worse, they don't understand. Why can't they accept me for who I am?
Sam, I'm talking about my powers, my problems.
Death Note? As in a notebook of death? How to use it? The human whose name is written in this notebook shall die.
Hello, folks. It's me, the conductor. Today, we travel to Troodon Town for a spooky visit to their haunted roundhouse. So come on along with me on the dinosaur train. All aboard!
Hola, soy Dora. And this is Boots. We're in the snowy forest. The snow princess needs our help.
And here is our greatest triumph. What is it again?
It's a rocket, Captain.
Not just a rocket, Cadet. This one runs on the same fuel we do. Air.
That's what we breathe, Captain. Oh.
Right, a little variety here with the five shows in this section. We have Danny Phantom, came out in 2004. It was voted on last time, just not enough to make the top 100. It came in at number 228th place. So it has a lot of work to do if it wants to crack it this time. We had Death Note from 2006, which was 72nd on our original top 100. Dinosaur Train did not receive any votes last time. It did come out in 2009, though, right before we were doing this. We have Dora the Explorer from the year 2000. That came in 204th last time. And we have Duck Dodgers from 2003. That came in 330th last time. It's got a lot of work to do, so... Danny Phantom, Death Note, Dinosaur Train, Dora the Explorer, and Duck Dodgers. Dora the Explorer has been around for what seems like forever. I think they still have more series coming out, and they're doing more episodes, and they spun off to Diego and some other stuff. Obviously, it is aimed a little bit more towards a younger audience, but I think for the last 25 years, it has been in the culture. Like, if you go to Universal Studios, like, you can see Dora. The character still walking around. I'm pretty sure she's one of them. And Dinosaur Train is also aimed towards that same age group. I think Dinosaur Train is a pretty good show, but again, a lot of the early elementary type demographic shows don't fare super well. Death Note, I don't know. It came in 72nd last time. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it has gained ground or if it will fade more. This is on my list of to watch shows. And then I feel like Danny Phantom, it comes into just how old you were with some of these shows. Like, I feel like the Danny Phantoms and the Ben 10s and a few that we'll get to in a little bit all kind of came out in that same time period. So which ones resonated the most with you? And I've never seen Duck Dodgers, so I can't speak to Duck Dodgers. Mike, what do you think of this set of five?
That hurts my... You call yourself a classic animation fan? You call yourself a Looney Tunes?
Duck Dodgers came out in 2003, and I have never called myself a Looney Tunes... I've never called myself a Looney Tunes aficionado. God.
It's not classic. It's from the 2000s.
Yeah, I don't care, but it is so classic. No, okay, look. So technically, it's a modern version of a classic Daffy Duck cartoon. So Duck Dodgers originated in the original Looney Tunes. They did Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
In now the we know how it got to number 330 on the last countdown.
Funny guy.
Mike voted for it.
Funny. At this point, it just might make my number one. But I'm not kidding. I actually have over on my table there. I have a Funko soda figurines of Duck Dodgers and Space Cadet Daffy and Porky as the characters. Anyway, so originally in Looney Tunes, there were episodes, like I said, Duck Dodgers in the 20s. Okay, fine. So in 2003, Spike Brandt and, what's the other guy's name? Tony Curtis, I think. They brought it back as its own show, as its own thing. And they basically just, instead of having it as a short around the rest of the Looney Tunes, they just were like, Duck Dodgers, we're just going to do that. And that's what every show is, his space adventures. And he's going to go up against the Martian Queen. And the Martian Queen is voiced by Tia Carrera, Sandra from Wayne's World, and everything else she's done in her career. Or Cassandra from Wayne's World, I should say, not Sandra. This show is just so hilarious. Absolutely. It's so fun. So
what about
fun.
The other four? We know you're voting for Duck Dodgers. What about the other four?
So Dora the Explorer, obviously, I was way too old for it. However, I had a couple of friends at the time who had a couple of kids who were around that same age. So I still remember Swiper, No Swiping and all that. But I was way too old for that at that point. I've never seen Dinosaur Train, never seen Death Note. I've seen episodes here and there of Danny Phantom. I know Danny Phantom is still super popular now, because I know a lot of people that still like it. But I don't know. For me, it's all about Duck Dodgers.
All right, Steve, agree or disagree?
I don't foresee me voting for really anything on this particular block. This was around the time that I just didn't give a rip about anything. I was working. Danny Phantom, again, it came out. I graduated. It wasn't something on. Plus, it was Nickelodeon. Again, I'm not a huge Nickelodeon animation fan. I've discovered while we've been going through these lists. I am very much a Warner Brothers. I'm very much a Hasbro production. I'm very much anime. And so it or Marvel. But Warner Brothers is probably the biggest one for me. And this isn't it. And Death Note, it's too dark for my personal tastes. For an anime, I guess I go for a little bit different aesthetic. Like I could see some of the other ones that are coming down the pipe being more interested in when I actually get to watch and do the play, watch through. Mm-hmm. This one I tried to stomach it and I was like, I can't get into it. Dinosaur Train, my kids watched it. Again, it's great show. Ian James Corlett is the conductor, but it's made for kids. Like it's right. Very much along the Dora the Explorer and Clifford and Curious George realm. Dora, again, they've made multiple iterations of this. Not something I would put on my personal list, but maybe somebody younger might. Mm-hmm. Duck Dodgers. I've seen parts of this one. I've seen parts of most of these actually.
Can't watch a Warner Brothers cartoon without a Warner Brothers ball cap.
I would prefer Looney Tunes if I'm going to watch.
You can't watch a Warner Brothers cartoon without a Warner Brothers catalog. Come on, man. You got to at least give it the 5-episode try.
I did. I've watched all of these. They're just not. It's a Daffy Duck show. Like I don't really get into Daffy Duck. It Bugs Bunny. Yeah, I'm all over it. But yeah, this I enjoy it for the space aspect. I did learn Marvin the Martian from watching I remember when it came out because I did watch this one, and I've watched all of these recently out of this block. I just, none of them are going to make my top 100.
I think, yeah. And I could be wrong. I'm going to have to do some research next time I go on mute. I think this was Joe Alasky's last performance before he passed. I think.
Way to bring it down a notch, Mike.
I'm just saying.
I will have to be putting Death Note on my watch list. That is something I will have to watch in order to determine it. I can't really see myself voting for any of the other ones, though. So, have to see how the rest of the panel votes when it comes time for that.
Bloofus? His name is Blue Regard Q Kazoo, and you know it, Terrence!
Right, or Bluey, Blue the Blue Dude, El Blutorino, or hey, how about just Blue? But come on, man, Bloofus? How stupid can you get?
He doesn't need any work, that's Edward Elric, the Full Metal Alchemist. He's been a celebrity around D-City. They say he's a real child prodigy.
Last chance, Skeletor. If you surrender now, you'll be placed in prison and treated with mercy.
Mercy? What a ridiculous concept.
Wow! Looks like we got a full house.
Who ordered the chips?
So you're the Brad, huh? 50 years have passed, and I have grown old. And if you're this old, Kikyo must be pushing 100. Sure glad I don't got to worry about being old.
All right, let's keep it going here with a set of 5 shows that all debuted between 2000 and 2004. All of these 5 received votes last go around, but only one of them actually made the list. So we have Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends from 2004. Had about 29 awards throughout the years for this one that it garnered. It was on 3 of the lists we looked at it, but it came in 236 last time, so it's got some work to do. We have from 2003, Full Metal Alchemist, which was 118 on the original list. So with a few more years for people to catch up to it and some spinoffs and things of that nature, can it climb those 18 spots to crack the countdown this time? We'll have to wait and see. We have the 2002 version of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. This one did appear on our original list at number 50. Does it slide with more time to go and more He-Man cartoons that have been out, or does it hold on to its spot? We'll have to wait and see. We have the House of Mouse. Let's talk about Disney, I guess, from 2001. That came in 228th on our original list. And 219th on our original list was Inuyasha from the year 2000, which has had, I believe, 167 episodes, if my count is correct. So we have Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, Full Metal Alchemist, He-Man from 2002, House of Mouse, and Inuyasha. I love House of Mouse. I do enjoy that show. I don't know if I have enough room for it on my top 100. I have never seen Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, Full Metal Alchemist, or Inuyasha. So at least probably Full Metal Alchemist I'll put on my watch list. I don't know about the other two yet. The 2002 He-Man version I love. I voted for it last time. I can't see it being number 50 this time, though. I think if it gets in, it's getting in the 90s or something of that nature, just a gut feeling. But Steve, what do you think about this set of 5?
So this set of 5, funny enough, I'd been watching a few of these today. One from this particular block, Foster's, I did not like. I hate this animation style. And yeah, there's a number of shows that are in this style that are going to come up in the remainder of the nominees, either today's or the next episode. And right, I do not like this style. Like this for me is like the Wallace and Gromit claymation style thing that I just couldn't stand in the films.
Mm-hmm.
This is that for me here in the animated series. Like that's all I'm going to go into it. I've tried watching this one and a few of the others in this style, and they're either dry or annoying, or I just hate it. So, and I've tried to go in with a clear mind. It's just it. Yeah. Full Metal Alchemist is on my list of things to watch. I haven't made it to that one yet, but that is definitely on my list. I have a separate list of anime that I'm going to go through throughout this run, because there's a number of them. He-Man, I've not seen enough of this, but I do know that this one is much better than the original in a lot of ways. So this one is making my list more than likely. House of Mouse is, again, it's Mickey Mouse. I don't have anything against or for it. Possibly my kids would put it. It's just not something I really care to list. Inuyasha, I used to watch, I think around the time that Dragon Ball Z was on Toonami.
Okay.
But I don't remember it. So that one I'm going to have to go back and rewatch. I do remember that David Kay is the voice of Sesshomaru, which is the one of the main characters of the show. And that was mostly why I tuned in.
Right. Mike, what do you think about the set?
I've seen bits and pieces of Foster's Home. The only character I really remember is Blue, but I don't remember much about it. I've never seen Full Metal Alchemist. I've never seen Inuyasha, but obviously He-Man, we spent, 10 years going through all of it, and we spent, I don't know, something like, how many episodes did that take us for the 2002 series? 25 episodes, something like that.
15, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And good show, really. For only having 39 episodes, it's a really good show. I wish they were able to give us the actual ending that they wanted to give us. But unfortunately, they didn't. They couldn't, because Cartoon Network were bastards back then. House of Mouse, I will, just like Duck Dodgers, I will defend all day. House of Mouse is essentially Roger Rabbit, but all Disney. And I don't mean that to say that it's live action, it isn't. But it's basically the Ink and Paint Club in animation, all Disney characters. That's what it is, the House of Mouse. That's what the club is called. It's all club stuff, and what they do is, the club is the background. All of the characters come in and they watch classic Disney cartoons. So House of Mouse was 2001, right? Did I get that right without looking? Okay. Yeah, House of Mouse was 2001. It was an easy way at the time for Disney Channel or Toon Disney at the time, because I think it was called Toon Disney at the time, to re-air their classic cartoons from the 30s, 40s, and 50s and whatever, like all the classic Goofy cartoons, all the classic Donald cartoons in a new way. It was kind of like how the Cybernetic Space Cube was put around the Generation 1 cartoons. I will vote for House of Mouse all day long. I will vote for He-Man and the Masters of the Universe from 2002 all day long. Absolutely.
So a couple potential shows that may be able to crack our list. We'll have to wait and see.
Does anyone have any questions that don't have anything to do with lunatic ideas about Zim being an alien? I eat food, just like you.
Most impressive. But what's it got to do with us?
I once thought I could protect the world by myself, but I was wrong. Working together, we saved the planet. And I believe that if we stayed together as a team, we would be a force that could truly work for the ideals of peace and justice.
What? Like a bunch of super friends?
More like a Justice League.
Do you have any idea how corny that sounds?
Don't you ever wish you were down there?
I'm down there all I need to be.
Yes, but it's just a job to you. I'm talking about going down there and having some fun. Maybe with someone special. No. No dating for the Batman. It might cut into your brooding time.
One, dating within the team always leads to disaster. Two, you're a princess from a society of immortal warriors. I'm a rich kid with issues. Lots of issues. And three, if my enemies knew I had someone special, they wouldn't rest until they'd gotten to me through her.
Next.
All right, so time is running out, but I will not panic, KP.
You're panicking, aren't you?
Totally!
Ron, why do you do this to yourself?
Kim, procrastination is one of the few skills I've mastered. Don't slam it. Oh, look, TV.
Our next victim goes by the name of Dr. D's. Oh, joy.
Yo, what up, dog?
No, it can't be.
And yet, it is.
You think your skin was crawling before?
Kim? Are you watching?
Yep, but not believing.
This is Commander Kiva Andrew of the Earth Coalition. That robot is a very dangerous weapon, and I want it back!
Hey, I found it. It's mine. Finders keepers.
I repeat, surrender Magus or face the consequences.
I got your consequences right here.
All right, for the next set of five, also some shows from the early part of the decade appearing here. We have from 2001, Invader Zim. It appeared on four of the nine lists that we looked at, actually, which is the highest anything has been since Avatar and Aqua Teen Hunger Force. So it does have some love out there. It was 173rd on our original list. We have Justice League from 2001, which came in at number 17 on our original list and appeared on six of the nine lists we looked at. This next one did not receive any votes for the original countdown because we combined these two, but we're not doing that this time. So we have Justice League Unlimited from 2004, appeared on two of the nine lists that we looked at. We have Kim Possible, just missed the countdown last time, came in at 110. It did appear on three of the nine lists that we looked at. And then 205th from our original countdown is Megas XLR. So Invader Zim, Justice League Unlimited, Kim Possible, Magus XLR. Steve, start us off with this group.
So Invader Zim, I did not watch. It's kind of another one of those Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
It's a funny trend. I never realized it, but I just don't like Nickelodeon animation. And I have not liked the Ninja Turtles since Nickelodeon took it over after to the 2012 series. So it's very funny. So Invader Zim, suffice it to say, will not be on my list, even though it's, you know, got a lot of high praise online for reviews. Justice mm-hmm. League and Justice League Unlimited, like we mentioned, I can foresee me using these on my list because I enjoy them both, and they're continuations of Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond and Superman the Animated Series. And so I feel like these allow other characters to shine, but also playing in that same universe. So they're a lot of fun for me, and a lot of them touch in different ways. Kim Possible, another fun show by Disney. Funny enough, I like a lot of the Disney stuff, or in some ways, DreamWorks, which comes up later. But Kim Possible was fun. Megas XLR, I remember this on Cartoon Network, and it reminds me in a lot of ways like SWAT Cats, but with robots.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they get to fight in these Zords. I found it entertaining, and it's got a very similar style to the late 90s, early 2000s aesthetic, where they had that kind of shiny, polished look, but it wasn't completely dark, and it fit in well with the content of that time period. But I remember watching a few episodes back in the day, but this is definitely something I'm going to go back and rewatch before I can determine if it gets listed or not.
Mike, what do you think?
Oh, boy. Yeah, like Steve, I've never seen Invader Zim. I've never seen Megas XLR, but I will give it a try. Kim Possible, funny thing. I just finished my third rewatch through of that series in the past, like, 4 years. At this point, I use that show for background noise. I love that show so much. Justice League and Justice League Unlimited specifically and Kim Possible basically have a unique tie together because Will Friedle is on both shows. Because in what's the episode called? Time Warped. Time Warped Part 2 in Justice League Unlimited. The Batcave, everything, it's all gone. We're all that's left. Will Friedle voices both Batman in Batman Beyond and in Justice League Unlimited, and obviously the voice of Ron Stoppable in Kim Possible. So very, very awesome. But yeah, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, and Kim Possible, absolutely love all three.
That's halfway through, I believe. The first set of 25 has been revealed, so let's see what the second half holds for us.
Robot? Mrs. Wakeman's weird, but she's not a robot.
And I'm not deaf either, young man.
Sorry, Mrs. Wakeman. Tuck was babbling about some robot.
Robot? Ridiculous. Never heard of such a thing.
That's what I said.
Listen, Haruka-sensei. I'm going to show you this amazing jutsu, and you're going to let me graduate, then everything will be okay.
That's the way it works, right? Anyone who learns a jutsu from this scroll passes.
Huh? Where'd you get that idea?
Mizuki-sensei told me about it. Believe it! He told me where to find the scroll in this place.
Somebody get that wig off Private.
Cheesy Dibbles!
Happy ding-dong birthday, you little scamp.
Daddy, it stopped raining. Can we go out to play?
All right. Run along, you two.
Pretty cool, huh?
What about Perry? What does he want to do?
All right, starting off this second half, we have from 2003, My Life as a Teenage Robot. We have Naruto from 2002. It was 247th on the original countdown, so it has a lot of work to do. We have Penguins of Madagascar. Came out kind of right before we did the last countdown, relatively, and it did get enough votes to get 305th on our original countdown. We have Peppa Pig, which has had almost 400 episodes and is like a cultural phenomenon, I guess. And we have one of Mike's favorites from 2007. It came in 60th on the original list. That would be Phineas and Ferb. Mike, you go first.
I've never seen My Life as a Teenage Robot. I'm going to have to give that a try. I've seen clips of Naruto. Penguins of Madagascar, I liked because it wasn't the movie. I liked it because it was the penguins. I liked it because it was them, not the other characters from the Madagascar movies. But penguins, they're hilarious. I absolutely love the penguins. They're so funny. Peppa Pig is a kid's show. I've seen clips. I used to listen to a radio station where one of the morning show people was a mom of teenage girls or little girls or whatever. So I only know of it because of that. And Phineas and Ferb is Phineas and Ferb. Show is debuted in 2007. It's currently got 5 seasons. They just announced the 6th season coming beginning of next year, I think. I could be wrong in that. I don't have the information in front of me. I'm not going to look it up. But yeah, we have the podcast organization without a cool acronym with myself and Michael Wilson. We've gone through everything. We will be doing the 5th season and whatever else they come out with. What's so cool about Phineas and Ferb is it's a cartoon show where imagination is everything. And in 2007, I know we had plenty of cartoon shows where you could have your imagination be everything, but I don't think we had a cartoon show like that in a long time, where you basically meet these two stepbrothers who basically create anything and everything. And they have the older sister in Candace, voiced by Ashley Tisdale. And she always wants to bust her brothers, and they get away with everything, and she gets frustrated. And on the flip side, you have Perry the Platypus with Dr. Doofenshmirtz, and it's a whole thing, and it's a whole genre of it's a whole show of just awesomeness, and it's just so fun. And yeah, absolutely. But
all right,
well, yeah,
Eve,
Penguins and Perry.
Penguins and Perry for you. Okay. The only ones that appeared on the 9 list that we looked at was Naruto and Phineas and Ferb. Steve, which ones do you think have the most chance for you?
I think the ones that have the most chance for me are Naruto, Penguins of Madagascar, and Phineas and Ferb. Mm-hmm. My Life as a Teenage Robot. Again, figure the studio. That obvious. Peppa Pig. It's an animation thing again, but I had never heard of this before. Like, I saw it on a Paramount Plus commercial a couple years ago when it had Patrick Stewart on there talking about getting the pig skin.
Oh, yeah.
So close.
How are we going to get up there?
Now, if there were only someone made of pig skin.
Bingo.
Oh, dear.
That's the first time I heard of Peppa Pig, so that ought to tell you. Naruto, I can see being pretty strong because, again, that came out during the early 2000s. Western audience anime, kind of like Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, etc. It would kind of go with the Inuyashas, the Ranma, and the Dragon Ball content. Penguins of Madagascar, those penguins are awesome.
Yes, they are.
I enjoy them even in that. And then they have the King Julian parts of it, which are funny too. And then Phineas and Ferb, I've watched some of it here or there with my kids, and they've watched it and they enjoy it quite a bit. So I can see those three being the strong contenders in this particular list.
Speaking of strong contenders, we have maybe our strongest group of contenders coming up next.
Excellent. So you're not going to talk. Then how about a dip in my lava jacuzzi?
Megatron, you're sure this is a Maximal in disguise and not just a plain old panda?
Of course, Scorponok. Look at his smug face. Yes, I may have PTSD, but that is a f***ing Maximal.
If you are me, then who am I?
Oh, you're so stupid. You are you also.
Enough. You are my mirror image, yet your speech is foul with evil and disrespect. Who are you, and how have you come to be me?
The banking clan has hidden huge factories on Munalist, building huge droid armies and massive warships. We must act quickly.
I agree. But who to send? Master Windu still fights on Dantooine.
Lead the assault, Master Obi-Wan can.
My army is ready, Chancellor. We can leave immediately.
Yes, and young Skywalker as well.
Man would have had real earplugs.
After all I've done for you, this is the payback? When Dad passed away...
Don't you mention him.
Why not? I'm the man of the family now.
Says who?
That's the way it works. We're blood. I'm supposed to be looking after you, not fighting with...
Did someone say fight? No offense, Stretch, but a big-time supervillain like Ebon requires a big-time superhero like... Well, like me.
All right, at this set of five, four of them were on our original top 100. That's the biggest set of five that we're going to have to talk about today. And one of them kind of just missed. Robot Chicken starts us off. It debuted in 2005. It was on four of the nine lists we looked at. It is the only one of this five that didn't make our original top 100. It came in at 134th. The rest of the four all did come in on the top 100. So we had Samurai Jack, which came in at 38th. We had Star Wars Clone Wars from 2003, which came in at 66th. We had Star Wars The Clone Wars from 2008, which came in at 49. And we had Static Shock from 2000, which came in at number 83. Star Wars Clone Wars and Static Shock were on three of the nine lists we looked at. Star Wars The Clone Wars, Robot Chicken were on four of the lists we looked at. Samurai Jack was on six of the nine lists we looked at. I can see myself, I know originally I voted for both Clone Wars, just in very different spots. I cannot see myself voting for both of them again this time, just because I feel like I need that extra spot for something else. And there's been some other Star Wars content that I think is better than the 2003 version. So I probably will only vote for the 2008 Clone Wars and leave the 2003 one off of my list. Samurai Jack is on my watch list. I have to watch some of that, and I have not seen any Static Shock. I get Robot Chicken. Again, it depends when you're looking at the more adult demographic of, you know, the primetime cartoon shows, Adult Swim-like programming, how many you have room for and which was your flavor. Robot Chicken, I can see going either way, so it just depends on the panel, I guess. Mike, what do you think of this set of five?
Yeah, I agree. It just depends on the adult humor. Robot Chicken, for me, it's not even really about their humor. It's about which skits. If the skit was like, if they do a Transformers skit, oh, I'm going to want to watch that. But if they do a skit on something else I don't care about, then I'm not going to want to watch it. I don't care. It's kind of like, you know, choose your own adventure episodes with them kind of thing. Samurai Jack, like you, I'm going to have to watch some of that. 2003 Clone Wars was okay, but it's not making my list over 2008, The Clone Wars. Again, when the pandemic hit is when they announced that, look, season 7, the final season of The Clone Wars. I went back and I watched all of it from the beginning. I had never, because Disney Plus had just started in 2019. When The Clone Wars was airing on Cartoon Network, Cartoon Network has always been fickle with action cartoon air dates. Always. I don't care what, you could insert any action cartoon, Cartoon Network would put it on this time, this time, this time, and then the next week it would be on any other time but the times you had it on the previous week. So when Disney Plus debuted in 2019 and The Clone Wars was on there, and everything shut down in 2020, I was like, oh, look, I have plenty of time. I can actually sit and watch all of the show. There's a whole Twitter thread on Twitter that I did a running commentary, not necessarily every episode, but after I finished either every few episodes or every season, I made a post about, hey, I watched this, or I watched that, or I like this, or I like that, or whatever. So yeah, 2008 Clone Wars, absolutely love it. So good. And Static Shock's good. I enjoyed it. It was fun. A little different, but it's not bad. I wouldn't. These double negatives suck. I would not recommend it. I would definitely say give it a shot. It's very good. The crossovers are interesting, but don't just watch it for Batman to show up. I mean, even though that's fun, but it is very, very fun. Steve?
I think before Steve goes, I think the Clone Wars from 2008 could be one that, I know it came in 49th on our original one. It may actually have an opportunity to climb the ranks because it's had so many more seasons and it's been around and this, that, and the other. So I could actually see that one jumping even higher than 49. Steve, what do you think of that and this set of five?
So for this particular set of five, I agree with the assessment about Robot Chicken. I liked certain skits, like when it pertained to Transformers or G.I. Joe or, you know, certain things like that. I would watch the skit itself, but I didn't really care for the show. Samurai Jack, I did watch a lot of back in the day. I found it to be entertaining. And I liked Cartoon Network stuff, too, because I watched Toonami. And so I watched everything around it. And it was kind of dark, but it was interesting samurai type stuff. And I did not like the 2003 Clone Wars, even though they shared an animator and style. I just didn't like it. The CG one for the Clone Wars in 2008, where they also, you know, revived it for the final seasons for Disney Plus when they launched all that. I enjoyed that show. Plus, it plays really well into the continuity, and I don't know, it's just more satisfying to kind of dig into.
Yeah,
Static Shock. I enjoyed it when it was out. I don't know if I would list it. Just because I have other DC shows that I care about and enjoy much more than this one. And so, and it has nothing to do with Batman. It just has to do with the fact that I was also out of the range here of what they were trying to drop for people to watch it. And so I wouldn't list it personally. I could see it being on the top 100. I could see really any of these except for maybe the 2003 Clone Wars being on there. But myself personally, I think I'd go for like Samurai Jack or the 2008 Clone Wars.
I think I have some watching to do, but I would be shocked if the Clone Wars doesn't make our top 100. So let's see what the next set of five brings us.
Oh, man, come on. It's got to be around here someplace. You lose the remote.
What makes you so sure I lost it?
Cause you're you?
Hey, just because I lost that video game
and the toothpaste and my football and a waffle iron.
Things disappear. How am I supposed to know where they go?
Well, how am I supposed to watch TV without a remote?
Symbol, you just get up and change the channel.
Huh? What is that noise?
Whoa! Earthquake! In New York? Possible, but not likely. What are those things? New York City cockroaches?
Up above the sails, we will search for treasure and be tough and alone.
Hey, we are gonna look for buried treasure, right?
Right you are, matey. And look what I've got. Half of a treasure map.
Face. Say cheese. I'm out of gas.
And I'm out of patience.
Really know how to spoil a coming out party. How do you expect me to spread mirth and whimsy without a proper hideout?
Listen, Joker, you're sick. You need help.
Well, maybe I am a little off. But what are you gonna do? Lock me in the loony bin? I'm already here!
I'm not a prophet. But sometimes I have prophetic dreams, like the one where I was at a garden party.
Excuse me, everyone, I have a brief announcement to make.
All right, we're going to stay in a very tight time period here in our next group. We're going to have shows that were in 2003, 2004, and 2005, and that's it. So we have the first two are both from 2003. We're going to talk about Teen Titans, which appeared on three of the nine lists, and it just missed our countdown last time. It came in at 104 on the top 100, so just missed the actual countdown. We have also from 2003 the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which appeared on two of the nine lists we looked at and was number 51 on our original list. We have the Backyardigans from 2004. That was 235th on our original list. Also from 2004, we have The Batman, which came in at 137th on our list. Just missing the countdown and missing a chance to go past Spider-Man for the franchise that had the most titles possibly. I'd have to do the analysis of the last countdown one more time. But and then we have from 2005, this was 278th on our original list. This is the Boondocks. From 2005, that appeared on four of the nine lists we looked at. So that makes it Teen Titans, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2003, The Backyardigans, The Batman, and The Boondocks. Steve, we'll go right back to you to let you start off with this one. What are your thoughts on this set of five?
So for this particular set of five, I was not a fan of Teen Titans, although I would take this over Teen Titans Go in some regards. The only episode of Teen Titans Go I enjoyed is the one where they had Megatron or David Kay playing a dragon in the Elseworld with the song. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2003. Loved this show. I watched it when it came out. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I liked the darker aspect of it. I liked the differences that they made between the 87 and this one. I liked how they also did Turtles Forever, which kind of tied into this too. And the 87. And this one is a definite lock for me, and I could see it being a lock for people too, if they didn't choose the other one, or even if they did. The Backyardigans, I wouldn't put this personally. I mean, it's a Nickelodeon show, which I didn't know until I was doing research on it. I skimmed it because, again, I'm not the target demographic for this, and my kids never got into it. So they didn't really care for this type of animation, for one, or the sing-songy stuff, or this kind of almost dumbed down animation. So this one won't be on there for sure. The Batman, I didn't start watching this one until just a few years ago. And it's actually pretty enjoyable. It's a different take. You get a different version of Batman here. I mean, just like any other Batman series, you get a different one. I could see this one or The Brave and the Bold being kind of a toss up for people of will they, won't they on these two, just because you get the lighter tone with The Brave and the Bold. And this one, you get kind of the darker, different rendition. You even get eventually in later seasons, like Batman's, like you get his Robin, Rude. You get Nightwing, you get Batgirl, you get even like an episode where Mr. Freeze comes back and it's like 1,000 years later or something. And they wow. dig up the Batcave. And they all don a costume of Batman to confuse Mr. Freeze as they take him down. And they get the antidote of how to take out Mr. Freeze from Batman's bat computer.
Right.
So I don't know. I like the show. Boondocks. I tried to watch that back in the day. Absolutely hated it. I still don't like it. This was kind of around the phase of where Adult Swim was kind of turning into stuff, and I just didn't care for it. So this is not something I would have. I could see people putting it on there that might have liked this kind of darker kind of animation, but I personally won't. Out of this block, I would choose like Ninja Turtles and the Batman.
Mike, agree. Which ones would you be most keen to vote for?
Turtles and Batman. Absolutely.
Are you not a Teen Titans fan either?
No. Not okay. at all. It's not a bad show. It's just that, I don't know. It's better than Teen Titans Go, but it was just because that was 2004, right? Yeah, I was already out of. Yeah. So 2004 was kind of my year of, okay, that's going to kind of be it for a couple of years. And 05 and 06, I was full on live action TV, and then Transformers Animated and Phineas and Ferb brought me back to animation. But Turtles 2003, as Steve already said, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Like, I have the complete series DVDs sitting on my dresser in the other room, just waiting to pop into my Blu-ray player, even though they're not Blu-rays. But like, I have that. The Batman is interesting because, as Steve said, it is slightly darker. They actually tried to lighten it up. So between the fourth and the fifth season, by the end of the fourth season, it got so dark. I don't know if it was Cartoon Network or wherever. I think it was Cartoon Network at the time, but the producers and everybody's like, we need something light. The entire fifth season is team ups. And the only reason why I know this is because they brought back George Newbern. They brought back Superman. There's a whole episode where it's all of them. It's the DCAU voice actors, because there's a whole episode with all of them in that fifth season of the Batman. The Boondocks is a blank spot for me. I'll have to check that out. Backyardigans, what is that? I know the name, but what is it?
The show came out in 2004.
it's a CG animated Nickelodeon series that's got like animated musical
okay. kids
stuff, and it's, you know, you've got so like a hippo or penguin.
Okay, so it's for little kids. Okay, yeah, no, that's not for me. No.
I will probably for sure vote for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then the rest is all on my catch up with list. So can't comment too much on this section.
Sorry, Timmy. According to the rules, fairy godparents only grant wishes to kids.
Really? It doesn't mean you still can't pal around with me, right?
Not that we know of.
Cool. Let's go do adult stuff.
Okay. Like what?
Driving.
I'm carsick.
I'm Cosmo.
Ew, it looks like I hit some kind of big ugly bug. Oh, never mind. That's just Mandy.
I didn't realize the zoo animals were on parade.
Ha ha, very funny, Mandy. And in case you didn't know, that was sarcasm.
Hard work, sweat, tears, and pain. If you can't take a 5-story fall and bounce right up, you better bounce out of here now.
Come here. I'm
the best there is at what I do. And what I do can't be imitated, copied, cloned, or used without the express written permission of the Superhero Squad and Marvel Entertainment LLC. Batteries not included. All rights reserved. Terms, conditions, or restrictions apply. We clear, bub.
I am the Spectacular Spider-Man! Only one thing missing.
All right, there's only 10 nominees left for this time period. Let's go ahead and look at the first five of that 10. We have The Fairly Odd Parents from 2001. That came in 290th place last time. We have also from 2001, The Grim Adventures of Billy Mandy. Also from 2001, we have The Proud Family. That came in 283rd last time. We have The Spectacular Spider-Man from 2008. Came in at 56th on our list last time. And then we have The Superhero Squad from 2009, which just missed the countdown and came in at 113th. So The Fairly Odd Parents, Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, The Proud Family, Spectacular Spider-Man, and The Superhero Squad. I have to remain silent during this section. I've seen zero episodes of any of these five shows. So you guys will have to tell me which ones I need to catch up with. Mike, let's start with you.
Okay, so you want comedy? That's a question for you.
I don't know. I'm scared.
Okay. Okay. Answer yes or no. You want comedy?
Sure.
Okay. The Superhero Squad show is the most comedic superhero Marvel show, in my personal opinion, that I've ever seen.
Is that good or bad?
It's good.
Okay.
It's a good thing. They have, this isn't a spoiler, but they have George Takei voicing Galactus. Galactus is the guy that goes around eating planets. And how they portray Galactus in this is just hilarious. They have Steve Bloom as the voice of Wolverine. And he actually does, I think this is the first time, might be the second time, but I think this is one of the first times he actually uses the word snicked. So that's the sound effect that Wolverine's claws make when he pops out his claws. Steve Bloom actually says the word. It's so funny. It's so hilarious. Spec Spidey is great. Proud Family is cool. Grim Adventures, it was okay. I liked it. It wasn't really for me. Fairly Odd Parents, I didn't find until later, but it is hilarious. It is just so hilarious. It's basically about this kid, Timmy Turner, who gets these fairy godparents, and they basically grant his every wish kind of thing, but they have to stay hidden. And it's this whole awesome, interesting show. So for me, if I was putting shows on my list, Fairly Odd Parents, Spec Spidey, and Superhero Squad show.
All right, Steve, what about you?
So I've seen Fairly Odd Parents. This is probably one of the outliers of Nickelodeon shows where it's actually entertaining for me.
Okay.
This one I haven't seen a ton of, but what I've seen, it's been entertaining, and I can see why people enjoyed it as much as they did. And this one's done by Butch Hartman. I mean, I could see this one being on the list in a lot of ways. I don't know if it'll be on mine. I don't know if any of these, honestly, will be on mine, but I've seen majority of these. I've seen the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, which was a Cartoon Network show. I've seen enough of it. It's entertaining. It almost kind of, in some ways, reminds me of Pinky and the Brain, but not. The Proud Family, I'm aware of it. And I know when it came out, it's not something that interests me. Spectacular Spider-Man, I could see my kids knowing this one more than me. I didn't personally watch it, but I also don't care to watch it because I the 90s Spider-Man is the one that is going to get my vote out of these. And that's kind of where I'm sticking. I'm less of a Marvel guy, more of a DC in terms of animation. Mm-hmm. And then Superhero Squad, I'm aware of it. Again, haven't watched much of it. I've seen clips here or there, but if you're into the goofy, like chibi style superheroes, it works for you.
That's what it is. Gotcha. I think, and again, I could be wrong, I would have to do research, but I think Spectacular Spider-Man was the first time Josh Keaton got to voice Spidey. And the only reason why I know that is because we have a voice promo from Josh when we've interviewed him in the past.
Yep.
You know, saying, hey, this is Spectacular Spider-Man, and I'm swinging by the Geekcast Radio Network.
All right. So I got a lot of homework, and we'll have to see what these last set of five shows reveals for us.
Rice Bannon. Those bastards killed him.
Those kids? Damn it, we let him go!
You know him, Brock?
Worked with him a few times. He was one of the best.
Do you need a hug, Brock?
No, Dean.
At long last, I serve you, my liege. Under my true colors.
Rise, Shockwave, my most loyal servant.
What just happened?
He happened.
Just my little way of saying goodbye. See you when I get back.
Yeah, you better run. Wait! Come back here and get us down! Logan! Logan!
What do you think you're doing here, bub? Those things could have taken your empty head right off!
I was just trying to get...
Give me that thing.
Hey! Give it back! Oh, man! Why'd you do that?
Let's just say you got on my bad side. And what else you got on this machine?
When are you geeks gonna stop giving that lame friendship speech?
I'd say when you stop pretending everything's a magic trick.
And you can't deny this one. I mean, how do you explain the fact that there's two Yogis standing here?
All right, we have five shows left. They all just missed our countdown coming in various parts of the 100s. So we start with the Venture Brothers from 2004. That was 167th on our original list. Then we go to 2007 for Transformers Animated, which was 103rd on our original list. Wolverine and the X-Men was 111th on our original list. X-Men Evolution was 117th. And Yu-Gi-Oh! From the year 2000 was 136th. The Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters, I believe, is the full title of that. So we have the Venture Brothers, Transformers Animated, Wolverine and the X-Men, X-Men Evolution, Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters. Yu-Gi-Oh! For me, it's similar to like Naruto and Pokemon and some of those other shows where I kind of just lumped them all together, whether that was right or wrong in my younger days, and didn't want to watch any of them. So I can't speak for that one. I've avoided it, whether it's warranted or not. Venture Brothers was, again, one of those Adult Swim type shows that I just missed because I didn't have the right channel, I think, at the time or something. So there was a lot of those like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and Venture Brothers and C-Lab that I just didn't watch in that time period. I was mainly just watching Family Guy. Wolverine and the X-Men and X-Men Evolution are obviously blind spots for me, so you'll have to let me know if I need to watch either one of those. I've seen all of Transformers Animated, and there's no shot in hell that it gets a vote for me. So, Mike, what's your thought on these set of five?
I avoid some things with me. If it's in my face or if it's in my range too much and I don't check it out, and people keep talking about it, not necessarily directed at me, but if I keep hearing about it, I will avoid it. And that's what happened with Venture Brothers. Everybody was talking about this damn show. So I have to give that the five episode treatment. But I did not even want to venture down that avenue at the time when it debuted. Yeah, exactly. Transformers Animated. It's very awesome. It's very cool. It's a very different style at the time in 2007, but it's worth giving it a shot. Wolverine and the X-Men is very serious. X-Men Evolution is very serious too, but it's not as serious as Wolverine and the X-Men, I don't think. And Yu-Gi-Oh! I can see why you would lump it in, but it is also a very much a standout in my personal opinion. It is. And it is the only anime that to this day that I've gone back and watched multiple times over and over again. It had 5 seasons, I believe. And each season is kind of its own, even though they tie it all together. But it is its own story. They've done a couple of movies with it. And every time I see Dan Green, who voices Yugi / Yami, and Eric Stewart, who voices Kaiba, every time I see them on social media or every time I see them out at, you know, on YouTube at conventions, they're always so nice and so awesome and whatever else. So yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters is very, very hilarious and fun, and it's worth anyone's time.
Steve, what's your take on these final 5?
So, funny enough, I watched 2 of these today.
Nice.
Venture Brothers and Yu-Gi-Oh! But I'll get to that in a minute. Venture Brothers, I had seen it back way back when it came out in 2003, and I think I'd seen it not during the 2003 run, but like around 2005, 2006. And honestly, it's kind of funny. It went from 2003 to 2018, probably with very small episode runs per mm-hmm. season.
Yeah.
Or very late releases. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I've watched this. I find it, I mean, the animation's not bad. There's some interesting choices with some of the voice acting, and then on top of it, I find it kind of stupid. So it didn't really tick the box for me there. Mm-hmm. Transformers Animated, I liked, and then I didn't like. So I was always on the fence with it. I liked some of the animation. I liked a lot of the voice acting. Some of the story was annoying, but again, it just depended on what part of the story you were in. So that one will probably end up on my list. Wolverine and the X-Men is another show that I skimmed some of it, but I haven't had a chance to fully dive in. I know it's kind of a shorter run mm-hmm. than any of the other ones here. Plus, it's a shorter run of the X-Men series, but it kind of gives it that late 90s, early 2000s aesthetic that was kind of going around during that time, like the more colorful and simplistic colors, but yet it was still animated, kind of pre-CG. So it kind of, it's more clean than the animated series of X-Men from the 90s. So it kind of fits between that and like a Justice League type of aesthetic.
Yep.
So that one I am optimistic about from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men Evolution, honestly, I didn't really care for some of the choices that were going into it. And I know that this one lasted longer, but it doesn't. I don't know. I was kind of out of animation at that point in time, too. Like it was when I was going still in high school, but I was working. And so I don't care for this one in particular. Yu-Gi-Oh! I watched some episodes of it earlier. I'm intrigued enough that I'm like, I could see watching more of this. And so I could see the appeal.
Yeah.
All right. So that is our list of 50 nominees that people are going to have the potential to vote for within the 2000s. It'll be lumped in together with the 50 nominees from each other time period. And that'll be our balloting list for everybody. Mike, do we need to pay any bills?
No.
Okay. Would you like me to get all AI on you?
No, not really. Anyway, what's the AI say?
Oh, you do want me to talk about it. Okay. So my question to you guys is, originally we had only 12 of these show up on our top 100. Obviously, a bunch of them just missed or missed by quite a bit since 41 of them got voted on. Only 12 made it, though. This time around, Steve, does that number go up, stay the same, or go down?
I could see, you said 12 the first time around?
12 the first time around. If every time period is equal, if every time period just like had the same amount, it would be 20 for each time period. But we know that some are going to be higher.
I could definitely see this being closer to 20 this go around, if not just over.
Mike, what do you think?
21.
All right. AI says that it is going to be somewhere between 20 and 22 for from this list. So that's where it's going. But then it also gives me 20 that it says are highly likely, and then it gives me 10 more that are like maybes, and then it gives the rest as unlikely. So for the highly likely, I'll go through these rather quickly, but it says Avatar, universally praised, often ranked in top 10 lists. Archer, critically acclaimed, long-running adult animation success. Aqua Teen Hunger Force, cult classic and a key part of Adult Swim history. Death Note, one of the most iconic anime of all time. Full Metal Alchemist, masterpiece status in anime, often top 10 globally. Inuyasha calls it a major gateway anime for many in the West. Both of the Justice Leagues just says it's a cornerstone of the DCAU. Samurai Jack, stylish, unique, and widely praised. The Clone Wars, critically reevaluated, now seen as essential Star Wars. Teen Titans, popular, stylish, and foundational for a generation. The Boondocks, politically sharp, culturally relevant, and artistically bold. The Venture Brothers, cult favorite, brilliant writing, long-standing Adult Swim show. X-Men Evolution, praised for strong character arcs and storytelling. Robot Chicken, pioneering stop-motion sketch comedy and a long Adult Swim legacy. Phineas and Ferb, creative, consistent, and beloved across age groups. Spectacular Spider-Man, short-lived but critically acclaimed. Naruto, huge global franchise, iconic. Invader Zim, cult classic with a local loyal following and unique style. Batman the Brave and the Bold, nostalgic, well-crafted, increasingly respected, and the Fairly Odd Parents long-running Nickelodeon staple. So that's what AI thinks has the best chance. Obviously, we've shared our opinions on which ones we think are most likely or not going to be on our radar. Mike, what do you make of just this group of 2000 shows in general?
I think it's a good group. I think it's going to be interesting to see what people put on their lists from this group. And like I've said in every other nominees episodes that we've done to this point, that my list is going to be severely different from the original list that I put out 15 years ago.
Yeah, this represents a time for me that I really wasn't watching too much animation, so it's probably the spot that has the most blind shows for me. I do have obviously strong opinions or a personal bias, I guess, towards some of the remakes or the reboots, with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 2003. I think those are definitely worthy. I liked Archer back in that time period. I liked the Clone Wars. I think that's a strong one. But I think it's an interesting mix. We have, like Steve was pointing out, there's a whole bunch of Nickelodeon, a smattering of some Cartoon Network, and then we got a bunch of Adult Swim style-esque shows for, you know, the more mature audience, and then a handful or a healthy group of animes as well. Steve, what do you make of this? Like, when we look back at our top 100 that we do in this next year, like, and we look specifically at the shows that make the list from the 2000s, what do you think it'll be like? What will it represent?
I think it'll represent people that grew up during this time, especially with, or even people that have just finally noticed some of the shows that are in there. I think that this particular block will be telling, and I think it'll be a little bit stronger than, say, pre-1980s. Mm-hmm. I think this one will, whatever overabundance we had in the pre-1980s and the first go around, I think that this one's going to take even more of it
away from it.
Yeah, and I think it even has that opportunity to take some of the 1980s with it too, just because this was kind of the new era of, it was kind of a weird time too in animation. We had a mixture of a lot of different animation styles. There was some CG, there was some simpler versions of the 90s stuff. There was some stuff that was trying something new with animation. You got the CalArts style, you got more, just a lot more variety going on in styles of animation. And some, and again, like we've noticed, like there are certain things that resonate with some of us more than others. Like if we grew up with a certain style or, you know, in particular design aesthetic, it's going to stick more than some of the more obscure or different styles, which some of the ones that are here that I was not a fan of the animation style, either. There's going to be even more in the next block.
Right.
And There's going to be a big chunk that I just don't give a rip. There's going to be a lot of CGI, though.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see, you know, if everybody listening wants to get in some early commentary on this, you can let us know, you know, what your thoughts are on some of these nominees, too. And I'd definitely be interested to hear where everybody else lands on this particular decade and how it's going to turn out. Is it going to go from 12 to 22 and we're going to get 10 additional shows that we didn't have the first time around? I think this section is specifically going to have the most movement as far as numbers wise, like either a lot jumping up or some maybe fading away still. But I think a lot have the potential to gain ground that we're coming out real close to the time that we did this the first time around.
Yep. And my only hope for next time is that the 7D gets in here because the 7D deserves it. Those dwarves have been through a lot, y'all. They have.
Not denying it.
All right, Toonsters. As always, I want to thank you for joining us here on Geekcast Radio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can also check out shop.geekcastradio.com, where you can buy all of our merch. Send email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can listen to us on all the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can join our Discord. The link will be in the show notes. Join us next time when we will be discussing the Top 100 Animated Series 2010s to present nominees. That's going to be a long episode. Holy crap. 2.5 decades. Yikes. What the hell were we thinking? For now, I am TFG on mic with
Steve Megatron
and Optimus Solo. It's only 15 years, Mike. That's not 2.5 decades.
Something. It's close enough. Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yeah. And unleash the tune in you.
You've just heard a podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. If you enjoyed this discussion, head over to geekcastradio.com to check out this episode's post for more insights and links. Interact with the show, feedback@geekcastradio.com, or interact with us on X @geekcastradio and on Facebook @geekcastradio network. Don't forget to subscribe to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts on your favorite podcatcher. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.